Bibles now. Go to 2 Chronicles. It's in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We will read the first four verses responsively. I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2. All the way through verse number 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Verse number 1, the Bible says, Amaziah, 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiadin of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants, that he had killed the king, his father. But he slew not their children, it did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, The father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for their fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. While we pray, choir, if you'll make your way up. Brother Scott, could you help Wally for me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've done here already. Lord, from the truth of Sunday school, Lord, to the wonderful music, how your Holy Spirit has already been present here and spoken to our hearts and encouraged and strengthened us. Now, Lord, we come to the most important part of the service, Lord, is the preaching of your word. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you do something special through the truth that's been prepared for us. Use our pastor, fill him with your Holy Spirit's power, but may we please be filled with your power as we listen. May we not just listen with the intent of hearing, but taking what is taught this morning, applying it to our lives and making a difference in those around us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Here in 2 Chronicles 24, if you'll keep your Bibles open there, I want to dwell on just a thought for the day that I chose this sermon 3 weeks ago to preach today. And it's amazing how 3 weeks ago God knew what some folks in our church have already been going through that I did not know they would face, but I want you to keep your Bibles open. We'll come back to it. We live in a world that wants to blame everyone else but ourselves for our problems. Right. Humanistic philosophy says that our bad, our sinful behavior is learned. No, sinful behavior is not learned. We are born into sin. We are conceived in sin. You don't have to teach a child how to sin. They do it very naturally. Trust me. I was thinking as the choir sang there, I was watching Brother Mike as he thinking about the day as a 27 years old, drunkard, drug addict. He would call it a commode-hugging drunk, got saved. Well, bless God, I was a 4.5-year-old ponytail pulling kid in the nursery, but I got saved. And guess what? We both got just as saved. We know how to sin pretty good on ourselves. People who are mean as adults were not stressed children and don't have an excuse to be a jerk as an adult. That's the nicest way I knew how to say that, just so you know. Every person has the responsibility to do right on their own. Let me make a statement here. No matter what's going on around you, it's your responsibility to do right. Yes, sir. Environment is external. Doing right is internal. Let me say that again. Environment is external. Doing right is internal. I know people who have grown up in good, godly homes that live worse than some kids who have grown up in ungodly, godless homes, and it's not the environment. At what point will people rise and fall on their own character and not somebody else's? Every person will stand before God someday and give an account on their own. You're not going to be able to hide behind anybody or anything. Everybody doing okay? I'm just getting started. It's not going to be mommy and daddy's fault. It's not going to be your teacher's fault. It's not going to be your friend's fault. It's not going to be your husband's fault. Well, maybe. It's not going to be your wife's fault. It's not going to be society's fault. It won't be education's fault. It won't be your social class fault. It won't be because you had too much, too little, or just right amount of money. Hey, every person is responsible for themselves. God tells us here in 2 Chronicles 25 that Amaziah did right in the sight of the Lord. I want you to notice something. Here was a 25-year-old young man who ended up having to kill the previous king to become the king. We're not going to go into all of that story. It was something that was sanctioned by God to do. But he ended up having to kill the previous king and some of the workers that went along with that. But I want you to notice something. The Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of God. It also says in verse number 4, but he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. God had told us in Deuteronomy that that very verse, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, says that the children should not die for the fathers and the fathers should not die for the children. You better be glad for that, and I know I'm glad for that. That means this. If Joe does wrong and ends up going out and killing somebody, Joe's family shouldn't be put to death because Joe did something wrong. Or if Joe's children grow up and someday Logan goes out and does something wrong, causes him to die, the whole family shouldn't die because Logan did wrong. Say, why'd you pick Logan? That was the easiest one to pick, all right? The most likely candidate. I'm teasing. Good little boy right there. And I'm excited about him. Can I tell you something? God made it very clear in the Word of God that every person is responsible for their own life. Let me say that again. Every person is responsible for their own life. Now, I'm going to throw a fit for a few moments. Humanistic psychologists and Dr. Spock and New Age religion has destroyed God and God's word in our country today. Man thinks he knows more about man than the creator of man. I hate to tell you something, but one sinner doesn't know more than God. And the best of us are sinners. Well, I've studied human behavior. So have I. Have you ever just gone to an airport and just watched people? It's cheap entertainment. Folks, I don't care how much you study human behavior. Every man has a will to choose right and wrong for himself.
Right.
Period. End of discussion. You see, thank God, God gave us a will, and we are not stuck in a pattern to where we have to follow the pattern. God knows everybody's glad they broke the pattern on me. You don't want two of me around, trust me. One's hard enough to handle. That was supposed to be funny. You took it too serious. Man, since the very first sin, has tried to blame other people for his sin. We won't take time to turn there, but when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and Eve was deceived by the devil and Adam ate with her the fruit that was forbidden, isn't it amazing the first thing man said when God said, hey Adam, where art thou? He said, we're hiding. He said, why are you hiding? He said, because we're naked. He said, who told you you're naked? He said, well, God. And God said, Adam, did you disobey me? Did you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, well, the woman you gave me caused me to do it. Now, wait a minute. He blamed God and he blamed Eve. He said, the woman that you gave me, she made me do it. That was the first sin. Guess what? Hadn't gotten any better since. We've all gotten worse since. How many times we want to blame somebody else? May I say this? We need to quit blaming others for our actions and accept the responsibility of our own actions at all times. Man has let education and quote-unquote science become God in America today. We have become so smart that we don't need God. And yet we're so dumb, some people don't even know which bathroom to use. Now that makes a whole lot of sense. Everybody doing okay? Most education today is not education. It's manipulation and propaganda. Education is based on truth, not theory. When will we Christians stop allowing humanism to be a part of Christianity? Did you hear what I just said? When are we going to stop allowing humanism to infiltrate into Christianity and to the church to the point where we accept it in Christianity and it's not scriptural? We think we know sinful man so well, but we are so flawed by sin ourselves, how well can we know a fellow sinful person? Everybody doing okay? We're just as flawed as they are. Well, I didn't commit the sin they committed. Yet. Yet. We just need to learn how to obey God and what God said. Can I tell you something? You'd go pretty long and hard to find something better by which to live. We are supposed to live by this word. God gave us every word necessary to live. Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you want to know how to live? Read the only book God ever wrote and all the words that ever proceeded out of his mouth that we need for life. Farther we get away from that book, the worse our nation gets.
Right.
The farther from the Bible we get, the worse society becomes. God makes it very clear that we need to accept the consequences of our own sin. Amaziah, when he became king, he did not go to the king's children and to the rulers that ruled with the king that were killed with him. Sounds like what happened in Iraq this week, or Iran. Thank God we've got a president who knows how to stand up for our nation. And I'm glad he's got 52 more targets picked out in case something happens. Say, what should he do? Say, now. I don't care what some communist Muslim congresswoman from New York says. That's another sermon. May I say this? Amaziah didn't kill the children of those families. He believed what God said when every man, every person is responsible for themselves. Now, I want to give you three or four thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, we're all sinners and all face the consequences of sin. Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 says, for as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. You are looking at a sinner. No comments. I know that, and I apologize. You are looking at a sinner. By the way, I'm looking at sinners. Anywhere you look, you're looking at sinners. I was meeting with someone yesterday and I told him, we're glad you visited our church, but if you're looking for a perfect church, we're not it because we're a bunch of sinners. A few years ago, somebody had visited our church and I went to see them and they said, well, I know somebody in your church that's a sinner. I said, yes, ma'am, you were there. She didn't like it real well. I said, I happen to know that all of us are sinners. I said, and if you think that you're sinless, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong church. I said, we're all a bunch of sinners. Everybody doing okay? Because we're all sinners, we're all going to die. And because we're sinners, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, and Romans chapter 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Well, that wage isn't just your body dying, it's your spirit. And it has to go forever somewhere, either to heaven or hell. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you die in your sin, and you die without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a place called hell that people go to. Well, that's just for real bad people. No, it's for sinners. Being a sinner qualifies as real bad. Well, I didn't do anything that bad. If you sinned, you did something that bad.
Yes, sir.
I hate to disappoint you, but can I tell you something? Jesus didn't come and die for the devil and his angels. He came and died for you and me.
Amen.
He paid the price for us, all we had to do. That's why, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Not through our own righteousness, but by his righteousness. We'll get to that in a moment. We have all chosen to sin. I don't need you to raise your hand to say, well, preacher, I sinned this week. Because the ones that wouldn't raise their hands, you're just as guilty of sinning because of your pride. We're all sinners. We all sin. We may not do what you qualify as sin, but what does God qualify as sin? So, first of all, we have to realize we're all sinners. And by the way, I'm just going to say it. Don't get your nose stuck too far in the air thinking you're a pretty good sinner. This isn't a church where if somebody does something wrong, we're going to get up in front of everybody and make them stand there and tell everybody all the wrong they did. First of all, you can't forgive them. God has to be the one to forgive them. Second of all, before you be the judge of them, we're going to have you up here telling everybody what you've done wrong. Bring your lunch, right, Bob? Sorry, better bring dinner, too. Can I tell you something? It's not our job to judge everybody's sin. Well, you're just trying to cover it up. I don't have to. It was covered by the blood of Jesus. If they're saved, it's under the blood and it doesn't matter. And what makes you think you're qualified to judge somebody for their sin? Well, they need to be corrected for it. That's God's job. Are you trying to be God? We'll be to you. And I get a little weary of somebody can walk in off the street, staggering, nearly drunk, come in here, get saved, clean them up a little bit, and we say, look at God's grace. Let one of our young people that grow up in church go out and make a mistake, and you want to crucify them. I have a problem with that. They haven't done 1/1,000th of what that old drunk did. If you say, look at God's grace, and let one of our kids do something wrong, and you want to crucify them. That's Pharisaism. It's wrong. Just thought I'd throw it there. Number two. Number one, we're all sinners, and we all face the consequences of sin. Number two, we will all face God for our own lives. Turn to Romans chapter 14 for a moment. I want you to see what God says. I can quote it to you, but I want you to see it in your own Bible, what God says. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. Romans 14, verse number 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Notice what God says. Every man shall give an account of himself. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16 says virtually the same thing. You don't need to turn there. We don't have time to get through all the scriptures, but I'll just reference it. May I say something? The The moment you get saved, the judgment for your sin was cared for. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? Your sins will never be judged. They've all been cared for because of Jesus Christ. See, what happened is this. You realized you were a sinner on your way to hell, that Jesus came and paid his price. And you were trying to earn your own way to get there, couldn't do it. And you needed what Jesus did for you. The moment you trusted that as your Savior, the Bible says that God imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your life. Not only did he pardon your sin, not only did he cover it with his blood, but he also imputed his righteousness. Let me show you what that means. Brother Josh, stand up for a second here. Here's a dirty, filthy, wicked, rotten, good-for-nothing, scum-of-the-earth sinner. But I remember the day where he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now watch what happened. What happened was this. All of those sins, they were washed in the blood of Christ. They were covered in the blood. They were pardoned. He's no longer condemned to hell. But God did something else for you, Brother Josh. God took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and put it on your account. When God sees his name, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not his sin. God cannot look on sin. That's why you have access to God. That's how we have our pardon, because we have the righteousness of Christ added to our account. Even if you could live sinless, you couldn't live righteous enough to get to heaven. Now, you can't live sinless. But I know this, you can't live righteousness enough. That's why Romans 3:10 is in the Bible. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not God. Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. They going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Salvation is an act of submitting your unrighteousness to the righteousness of God and allowing him to save you. By the way, that's what repentance is. Repentance is going from trusting your own righteousness to submitting to the righteousness of God. There is a change from what you are trusting to get you to heaven. It's not turning from your sin. You can't, because you are a sinner. You're turning from what you trusted to get your righteousness. Have a seat, please. That means this. We're all sinners. But if you're saved, you'll never face judgment for your sin because it's washed away. God says he removes it as far as the east is from the west. It's buried in the depths of the sea, never to be resurrected again. That means all the things you've ever done before you got saved or after you got saved, it's covered by the blood. Some of you ought to shout amen at that one. Let me tell you. You see, if you're saved, you're never going to face the judgment for your sins. I did not say you're not going to face the consequences of those sins here on earth. That's why when you got up this morning and you hurt so bad, you remembered you're a sinner. Somebody sent me one of these little funny things on my phone the other day, and it was a person standing there totally covered in snow like a snowman. They said, "My doctor told me to put ice on everything that hurts." I thought that was funny. I understood that a little bit more. May I say something here? If you're unsaved, you'll stand before God at something called the Great White Throne Judgment of God. I won't take time to turn into the book of Revelation, but you will stand before God and you will face the sum total judgment of every one of your sins and how it is affected throughout the centuries. Can you imagine how bad that will be? Can you imagine? Here's a thought. Adolf Hitler, if he did not get saved, which I doubt he did, will stand before God in heaven one day and face God for the sins that he committed. He's burning in hell now. He'll be taken out and stand in heaven in the presence of God and see everything he could have had. And then he'll face the judgment for his sin and be cast into the lake of fire for eternity, never to return. In neither case will we be able to blame anybody but ourselves. Nobody. Adolf Hitler went to a Baptist church as a teenager, but the preacher didn't show up, and they canceled church that night. I wonder if an old leather lung preacher would have had enough gumption to get up and go to church that night, whether there may have been a prevention of an Adolf Hitler.
Sure.
Number three, and I must hurry. God does not, and I'm going to use a word here that may not be a appropriate grammatical word, but God does not generationally hold you accountable for sin. God does not generationally hold you accountable for sin or the sins of your family. I believe we're supposed to rear our children. While they live under your house, they ought to follow the rules. You ought to do your best. But may I say this? Once they leave your direct leadership, their life is their responsibility, not yours. Everybody doing okay? And before those of you that have little children judge too many of us who have adult children, just wait about 10, 15 years. You'll find out how fun it really gets. Hang on. When they can't hardly walk and talk, it's real easy to rear them. But you wait till they can walk and talk back at you.
Amen.
And they're as big as you are bigger. And they have the ability to do what they want and not do what they don't want. May I say this? I am not held. I love my children. I love my son. But I will not stand before God for his life. He will. I'm not going to get the credit for it, nor am I going to get the judgment for it.
Amen.
His life is his life.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Now listen to me very carefully here. God doesn't hold children accountable for the wrongdoing of their parents. Thank God. Some of you ought to be real thankful that you're not held accountable for what your folks have done. You only said that because your mother's not here. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Did you know just because somebody had bad parents doesn't mean that they're going to be bad? I'll read a verse to you. You need not turn there. I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16 says this: "The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin." That's what God commanded. Before we pass judgment on somebody, say, well, they're that way because that's the way their parents were. No, they're that way because that's the way they chose to be.
Right. Amen.
I know people who had drunkard parents that never drank a drop of liquor in their entire life. Are they doing okay? I know people who had parents who never touched liquor who are drunkards. Well, how'd that happen? Because every man chooses for himself. God gave every person a will to choose. May I say this? Those of you who have children who have gone astray, quit beating yourself up. It's not your fault. It's their choice. I love you. I'll tell you the truth. Just because your children don't live right, it's not your fault. Everybody doing okay? You could go to the book of Luke. Man had a son named, they don't give his name, but man had two sons. We know one as the prodigal son. One stayed home, one went out and wasted his life. Came back as a hired servant. Oh, they threw a party for him because he was home, but guess what? Next morning, He was in the bunkhouse with the rest of the workers working. He was a hired hand. He didn't come back and live in the main house. That was his brother's. He faced the consequences of his own sin. By the way, Daddy didn't go looking for him because he was an adult man in a foreign country. Be careful chasing after your kids in sin. I preached this sermon, oh my soul, seven-ish years ago. The Bible uses a parable about a man who had 100 sheep. One went astray, and the shepherd left the fold to go find that sheep that was astray. Brother Mike, guess what? Let me tell you what happens to the average family or to the average church. That sheep goes astray. You say, well, that's my child. You leave the care of the fold to go after your child, you're stray. God says your job, stay in the fold and reproduce in the fold. You let the shepherd go after the stray ones. He's the one strong enough to fight the devil. He's the one strong enough not to allow the emotion and the passion that you have built up to pervert your perspective of things. But that's my friend. Maybe a friend, but you stay in the fold. Let the shepherd go after the stray sheep. I'm trying to help you. By the way, sometimes you get the stray ones back and they're okay. Sometimes they get a little beat up. But either way, it's the sheep's decision. Everybody doing okay? Just because your kids do wrong, that's not a blemish on you as a parent. Let me say that again. Because your children do wrong is not a blemish on you as a parent. Quit taking it that way. It's their life. They must live it. You did your best. You taught them the best you could. Now, it's their responsibility to live it, not yours. Boy, that's good stuff. You're not marked for life because of your past either. Can I tell you something? Thank God you're not marked for life. There are people in here that did drugs. There are people in here who have been drunkards. There are people in here who've been married and divorced. I don't know how many times. 20 times, let's say. I don't think anybody's been married and divorced that many times in here, so I can say that. There are people in here who have lived pretty rough life. Guess what? We're all just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. I don't think we ought to have that kind of person in our church, preacher. You're here. Isn't it amazing? Can I tell you something? Salvation takes care of all that. That's why this church exists. Did you know you don't go to the hospital because you're feeling good? You wake up and say, man, I haven't felt this good in 20 years. I'm going to go check myself into the hospital. It doesn't work that way. You wait till you're doubled over in pain and the kidney stone's so bad you can't even stand up. And your wife's got to roll you into the car to get you to the hospital. Man. Say why? Because that's the way it is. You don't go to the hospital when you're well. You go because you're sick. And church is a spiritual hospital. And all of us are sick. Even when we're feeling good, we're still sick. Number four. I must hurry. None of us, this is good. If you haven't heard anything, listen to this statement. None of us are a victim of our past or the past of somebody else. I am so sick and tired of this victim mentality in our world today. My daughter would say it this way, suck it up, buttercup. God bless a 22-year-old. Can I tell you something? You were never promised a life where no opposition or no hurt would ever come. All of us face opposition. All of us face pain. All of us face hurt by people that we know and we love. Did you get that? Nowhere did it ever say in the Bible that your life is going to be perfectly smooth and holy, holy, holy until you get to heaven. We messed it up with sin. So quit playing the victim card. I'm not saying at some point in time where somebody did not prey upon you that you were not the victim, but your whole life does not have to be lived as a victim. I've got very little respect for any man that would violate a child or somebody inappropriately. Got to get to the point now where I have to say where a woman would violate anybody that way. We live in such a perverted society. May I say this? It's wrong, but even so, your life does not have to be measured based on that act alone. It can be overcome. Oh, I didn't say the scar would ever leave. I've got scars all over the place. Good night. If I lose the rest of my hair, I'll look like Frankenstein. I have so many scars in my head from busting my head open as a kid. You don't want me to lose all my hair. You'll call me Pastor Frankenstein. I mean, there's scars everywhere. Stitches, I don't know how many times. Can I say something? The scars aren't there. They're just covered up. They're getting uncovered very quickly. But may I say this? You weren't promised a life of tranquility. Folks, the process of getting born isn't tranquil. You're as much of a sinner as the person who victimized you. I hate to tell you that. It does not excuse what happened to you. I am not minimizing the event or the trauma that happened to you. What I'm saying is this: you don't have to live the rest of your life based off of that one event. It is not a lack of bonding or burping as a child that I become brutal as an adult. I thought through some of these, just so you know. It's not whether I slept on my back or on my stomach as a baby that I'm lazy today.
Amen.
It's not a lack of hugs as a child that caused me to do drugs as an adult.
Amen.
It's not the enforcement of rules as a child that I rebel at all rules and all authority as an adult. Well, I hate church because my mom and dad made me go to church. No, you hate church because you're not right with God. Anybody doing okay? You hate the police officer because he pulled you over because you're speeding. You are the one doing wrong. It's not the officer's fault. He's doing his job. Anybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. Well, I hate school because I had a teacher I didn't like. Well, if you'd have done your work, you wouldn't have hated the teacher. Maybe. It's not because someone hurt me or yelled at me in the past that I don't handle stress well as an adult. Everybody doing okay? Quit blaming what happened 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago on why you are the way you are today.
Amen.
Well, it's just the way I've always been. Then change it.
Right.
You have a will to change. Now change it. Boy, there's so much more I want to say. It wasn't the lack of nurturing as a baby that people don't know if they're a man or a woman and become part of the alphabet soup people. You know, the LGBTQ, MICKEY, MOUSE people. It's not because mommy and daddy didn't nurture you well. Folks, go out to the farm and watch a bunch of beef cattle out there. They don't get nurtured a whole lot. Them old cows will birth them and watch them drop and hit the floor. Boomp. Those old cows stand in mud and snow and cold. Oh, they'll let them suckle. But they're out there to get toughened up. I've watched mamas kick their little babies. They didn't want to be nursed on. Pow! Say, why? Mama was mad. Don't mess with her. It's true at home, true in the farm. Mama ain't happy, nobody happy. Can I say something? It's not the nurturing, it's the maturing. It's time we grow up. We live in such a soft soap sissy society, it's not even funny. We think we have this mentality that we have arrived and everything should be just so. Enter sin, everything falls apart. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You wanted to get married. You married Prince Charming. He was everything. And the moment you kissed him, you found out he was a frog. And it's been like that ever since. Everybody doing okay? You know, then you get to the point in life where you get ready to go to bed and she takes her hearing aids out and takes the false teeth out and takes this off, and you're not sure whether to get in bed in the dresser or in the bed, because there's more of her in the dresser than there was in the bed. Now, wait a minute. Life isn't perfect and life isn't that easy. Can I tell you something? It's time we quit blaming everybody and just accept life as it comes. You're going to face God for yourself someday. You're not going to be able to hide behind anybody. Your children will face God for themselves someday. Quit blaming yourself. Some of you ought to quit taking the credit too. If it wasn't for the grace of God, it doesn't matter who you were as a parent. Some of us need to quit hiding behind all of our fears and everything that happened in the past. Well, this happened. Okay, you have a will not to let it happen again. That means this. Number one, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, make today the day. May we, secondly, start obeying God. If you've been saved and never baptized, time to obey him. If you're not in the Bible, time to start reading it so you can obey it. If you haven't joined a church, happen to a good one. If you don't want this one, that's fine. Old fashioned, yep. Independent, yep. Fundamental Baptist, all the way. Going to put up with a preacher that spits and screams every once in a while? Yep. Is he perfect? Not even close. Didn't have to say that. That hurt. Can you pull that out of my back for me? Ugh. Yeah. I think we ought to decide we're going to be faithful to all the services we can.
Yes, sir.
Say why? Because we're pretty sick. We need to grow.
Amen.
We got a whole bunch of other folks to help along the way. So we need to get as strong as we can to help them. That's what it's all about. Thank God for Amaziah. But he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, "Father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." I'm responsible for preaching truth. Please don't take this the wrong way. If you walk out those doors and die and go to hell, it's not my fault you heard the gospel today.
Right.
I will weep. I will hurt. But I will not face God for the fact that you didn't get saved. I'll face the fact that I had to get saved. We have to face God for our own sin and our own lives. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Please, no moving. Just be still for a moment. But I wonder, who'd say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hands? God bless you. You can put them down. I would not embarrass you, would not call you out. I would not ever do that. But is there one that would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that someday." Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I personally needed today." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for it today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join this church, we'd love to have you. You could come at this time too. If you just raised your hand and say, "Preacher, the Lord's working on me," how about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar? You just come and let the Lord work on you. You talk to him for a while and try to get whatever that need is fixed in your life.